This is episode number 17 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of March 17th, 2008. It's time for me to rock. Coming up on this week's episode, we've got our weekly distractions, gaming news, got a roundtable discussion about a possible one console future, new releases, listener email, and the star-studded question of the week.
Hello and welcome to another glorious episode of Interactive Distractions.
No, welcome to you, Chris.
Thank you, Jason.
Fuck all y'all. Welcome to me.
Yay!
Welcome to the Jeff Show.
Welcome to the Jeff Show. Sorry, Jeff. Jeff, you can take over. Go ahead.
With non-special guests, Jason and Chris.
Oh, man. So I'm Chris Riccio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello.
And Jeff Torney.
Hello.
Who's very enthusiastic today.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
I just have a lot of energy today. I don't know why.
Well,
might have been the crack I smoked earlier, but...
Go drink some coffee or something, man. Come on.
Yeah, I need it.
How you guys doing? Jason, what's up?
Not a ton. I feel like a really, really bad video game podcast show host, because I didn't buy Smash Brothers this past weekend.
Make that two of us.
Make that three of us.
We're all fired.
Welcome to the anti-brawl podcast.
No, I really, really want it. I actually have money down on it. So I'm excited for it. I just haven't had the time.
It's like one of those games you want to play, you have fun playing, but you don't get ridiculously excited for it. They have to be like, I got to get it the second it comes out. Well, at least we don't seem that way anyway. I know a lot of people are that way. But.
Yeah, I was actually at Best Buy on Sunday with it in my hand and my 10% off coupon, and I was just, you know, I'm with Crystal and I'm walking around. And
So you're a worse offender than I am. Yeah, see, I just haven't had the time.
I had it in my hand and I put it back. I was like, you know what, I'm not as excited about this as I thought I was, and I've got to finish up Resistance, I've got Devil May Cry to play.
Resistance, I mean...
Shut up.
I mean, come on.
It's only been a year and a half.
Oh, bite me. But, and Burnout, and I don't know. It's just,
Strawberry Shortcake.
Strawberry
Shortcake.
You know, that's your love,
it's a
I understand.
Long list.
Anyway, I'm going to shut up now because you guys suck. Jeff, how are you, man?
Same. Doing okay. Work was really busy lately. That's why I haven't been spending too much time on the boards and stuff, but hopefully it slows down a little bit. I was telling you guys, apparently everyone buys a house in March, and then Jason came up with said it's probably likely because of tax returns, and that's probably a good reason why, too.
That was Chris. I'll give him kudos for...
Oh, was that Chris?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. I was thinking of that.
I'm like all scatterbrained. I'm like, I don't know who's emailing me.
And then
what
I
do you do for
that?
You're an officer,
I'm a mortgage,
of some sort. Not
mortgage
of the law.
Closing officer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. So busy time of the year then. That makes sense.
Yep.
But
other than that, I'm good. Not too many games I played last week, but we'll get into that later. But
yeah,
doing all right.
That's cool. Well, I have received my flip top for my PS2.
Ooh.
I have received my hard drive.
Ooh.
So both of those have been installed. And I got my first import game, which I actually just decided, what the hell, and I bought the import remake of Knights for the PS2.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
And I'm really excited to start playing it, but I don't have Swap Magic yet. I don't know why. I ordered it the same time I ordered everything else, but they haven't.
What?
Swap Magic, that's what lets you play the Japanese games.
Okay.
So I'm still waiting on that. But as soon as I get here,
is
I'll be able to...
Is that similar to, like, the Sega Saturn RAM card thing? I mean, when I had, like, Street Fighter versus X-Men, X-Men versus Street Fighter, you had to quickly pull out the...
No, it's
the
not like
RAM
that.
Card. Or no, they pull out the conversion card, then put in the RAM card at a certain time. And...
Unless you had an Action Replay Plus, which had the 4-meg RAM card in it.
I've got one of those.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. They started selling them shortly after X-Men vs. Street Fighter came out, I think.
That's a good idea. Because when I got it, I was like so pissed because I was like, they tried to send me like these written instructions on how to do this. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do it. I couldn't do it. So I call up the store I imported from. It was like somewhere in like California. So I'm like talking to them, and they're like, you just got to do it here. I'm like, it's not working. They're like, just keep trying. And they literally hung up the phone on me. I'm like, What the fuck? It sounds like annoying the hell out of them, and finally I got it to work, but it only worked like 1 in 7 tries.
Yeah,
it's annoying, but
that was around the time that I was working at the game store at that time too, and you know, people would come in all the time asking how to do it, and I would have to show them. And it was just, and it's, you're right. I mean, it was a pain in the ass because if you didn't do it at the exact right time, then it wouldn't work. And not to mention that it probably wasn't very good for the system anyway.
Oh God, no.
You know, so okay. You know, when the Action Replay came out, when the Action Replay Plus came out, it was like $50, mm-hmm. and everybody was happy to spend the $50 just to stop having to do that. You know, so, but no, Swap Magic is it's a disc, and you load the disc first. And then after it loads up and it gets like, okay, well, this is U.S., and then you're supposed to be able to pop the flip top and switch out the game and then load the game, and it should work, apparently. Mm-hmm. So I don't know for sure because I haven't had a chance to do it yet. Hopefully I will have more info next week because I need
Here's
my Fantasy Star. Yep. Well, cool. Well, Jason, what's distracting you this week?
Not a lot. As I mentioned, I'm a little busy. I really do feel like a bad host because I haven't played much of anything.
Can I guess one game you played?
Yes, Puzzle Quest. I played a little bit of Puzzle Quest. Played a little bit of Ultimate Alliance. You guys will be very surprised to hear, Jeff, I know specifically, I have not played Rock Band all week.
What? No! Come on, you had to play it for so long.
I know. I suck.
Wow. That's oh, amazing. Yeah, because you didn't come
you
to Rock
like
Band Friday,
really sports
so.
Team that you went on the streak and all of a sudden it just snapped, and that's the way I feel right now. You were my home team, man.
I choked.
You ruined it for all of us, man.
What else did I do? Right. A little bit of God of War. I don't know if I mentioned that. You know what? I booted up Warhawk on the PS3, and I went into an empty room and I fiddled with my controls, and that's it. And that's all I had time for. I did play the Rocketman demo. I got that on 360, actually.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
I don't know what to make of this, man. I really... Rocketman?
Is that the Xbox
Live
Rocketman? Yeah, it's made with the Torque engine. It's actually published by Capcom. I don't know who produced it, to be honest, but I don't know enough about it to... Or I haven't played it that long to really make a really educated decision, but from what I've played so far, friggin' ass. I don't like it. It just seems amateurish. So.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not polished at all. I don't get it. So, there's just lots of issues with it. But, I mean, it's a demo. It's free. Try it out. Might be your cup of tea. One of our friends actually, you know, liked it enough to buy it. One of our former friends, I should say.
We're not talking to him anymore. You know, he actually sent me a message on PSN asking if I wanted to go in halvesies with it. And I'm like, nope. You enjoy.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some cool. They do some cool stuff with it. Like you can completely customize your character. What difference it makes? I don't know. Other than aesthetics. And I like the art style. You know, they're going for a very retro future comic-y kind of, you know, style. And the cutscenes are kind of neat. You know, they're trying to do a comic book thing with it. You know, where they've got still shots of, you know, the 3D models, and they put like word bubbles, but they also have voice, you know, audio along with it. But it's weird how they cut it. You know, you go from one bubble to the other, but it's still like the same panel, but their faces just change a little bit. It's awkward. I don't know. I can't get into it. Not to mention that the biggest thing that pissed me off about this is that, you know, it's an over, you know, like what, a three-quarter over the shoulder kind of top-down Diablo style.
Yeah, it's like what was that game called? Smash TV.
Yeah, a little bit. But you're like kind of on a rail, it seems. Like, you can't backtrack at all. Like, you start walking down the hall, and all of a sudden the screen just keeps going up. And you're like, no! There's a gun back there. I need that gun. And it's just
like
off-screen
just
a little bit.
Gunsmoke back in the day?
Yes.
I remember that, yeah.
That was like
but you can go... But it's not just, you know, from bottom to the top. You know, you can turn corners and stuff and go down different hallways. And I don't know. It just doesn't play well for me. It's cool that it's like a dual stick shooter, which is fun. But I don't know. I'm going to pass on it. I know that much. Anyway, it's my week.
I might check it out. Who knows?
Carry on.
That's cool. Jeff, how about you, man?
Like Jay, barely played anything last week. Pretty busy. 360. Lost Odyssey, still going about that one. got some pretty cool plot points. I just got past some. Getting excited to see what happens. I'm guessing I'm probably close to the fourth disc by now. I have to be. Jay, how's that going out for you, man?
I have not touched it. I'm literally afraid that it's going to red ring my 360.
I'll give it a shot.
Hey, bring it to work tomorrow. Let me borrow it.
There you go. Played Rock Band. We did that whole Rock Band night thing at the bar across the street that my neighbor set up. That actually, Mother Nature decided to take a big dump of snow on us on Saturday. Yeah, huge big dump. Huge big white dump of about 20 centimeters. I think it was like between 20 and 30 centimeters of snow. So a lot of people didn't show up that were supposed to, but surprisingly, there was a pretty good turnout at the bar. So that was kind of cool. We were like the house band, so to speak. So if people went up with like only pairs or one person, they would ask us to sit in on the other instruments. So
nice.
We played a shitload of Rock Band. There's a few guys. There's like this group of guys with a couple girls that went up there, and they were freaking amazing. They were all playing on Expert or Hard, and it was just like, wow.
Did you play a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah, Danny California was definitely played about four times. We tried to keep it at like a max, three time max, but towards the end of the night where everyone was just like pretty much polluted out of their tree, it got to the point where we're just like, whatever, play whatever, who cares, and yeah.
That was one of the complaints that Crystal had when we went to the Rock Band tour over at Best Buy. It's like every other song we heard was Danny California.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and she hates that song. She hates the Red Hot Chili Peppers altogether. So,
like, she'll just leave the room when that song is on.
Yeah, no kidding. She'll like hand the mic when we're playing. If it comes on, she'll like hand the mic to someone else and leave. It's like,
funny.
Oh crap!
I'm like, oh, I like to drum that song.
But cool. It was fun. It was what's cool. Was the Canadian Press actually got a hold of my neighbor the Monday following, so I guess a couple days ago, and asked if he was doing another one soon because they wanted to actually get some footage and do like an article.
Nice.
The story? Yeah, the Canadian Press. So Canadian Press is kind of like a freelancing thing, and then they just go and they basically sell the story to like another newspaper, so hopefully it gets picked up. But they were, so we threw like a mock Rock Band night last night at the same bar. I swung by for a bit, and it was pretty cool. Wasn't as many people there, of course, because it was like last minute notice, but
because Jeff wasn't there, you know.
So. Oh, exactly. That's right. You know, when the drummer doesn't show up somewhere, no one shows up. You know what I mean?
It's all about the drummer.
Exactly. PSP, Wipeout Paul still, and of course God of War. I think I have about an hour left of God of War. I'm still really liking it, but I'm savoring it. Taking it in slowly.
Good.
Yeah. I decided I didn't want to rush through it, because I was like, once I rush through this, then what? Then it just makes the wait for 3 that much longer. Didn't want to go through that.
True.
PS2, I actually caved. I opened up Persona 3 and gave that a shot.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Have you guys played that yet?
No.
Not yet. I've seen tons of videos. I'm really interested. It's just one of those that's on my list that I really, really want to play, but haven't had the time, because I know how engrossing it's going to be. But
yeah, I've only played about the first hour and a half, I'd say, and the first hour and a half, you really can't get a good impression of how the game is, because a lot of it's introductory stuff, like most games. But you don't even get to your first battle till almost an hour into it. 45 minutes to an hour. Yeah, I've only been in this one battle. It's kind of like, it's kind of getting you used to like the main characters, but it's about, for the listeners who don't know, it's basically you're a new student to a new school, and you get assigned to this dorm room that only has 3 other people or 4 other people living in it, and there's something up, something's kind of weird, and it turns out they're kind of like this secret agent type group of people that hunt these things called the shadows between midnight and 1 a.m., which is apparently if you're awake during this time, you can see this stuff and whatever, and only certain people can fight them. I don't know the whole thing because, like I said, only an hour and a half in. But that's basically it. So I'm guessing you become part of this group, this elite group of shadow hunters, so to speak, and get to kick some ass. And yeah, but throughout
that's cool that it's only like an hour out of the day because it doesn't really interfere with their school schedule. So less
exactly,
than
exactly.
Gig. That's cool.
But I mean, but 12 to 1, I mean, fuck. I mean, if you're in school, that's like the last, unless you're out at a bar, you don't want to be up at 12 to 1. Have to get
that's
up at like
prime bar time. I know. That's it, exactly. So it would be a huge sacrifice, I guess.
It would be.
Huh.
But right. it's looks like it plays out. You play through the days. So there's like early morning, lunch, afternoon, late afternoon, then evening, late evening, and then I guess this time. So well, from what I've read and played a little bit, you do have to go to classes and you interact with these other characters, and the more you interact with these characters, the more you up your like charisma or intelligence or whatnot, and you get to build up these things, basically your personas, which is really cool because personas is kind of like a summon in Final Fantasy, but mm-hmm. to get your summon to show up, your character and the characters actually shoot themselves in the head with a gun.
And that's why I haven't played it yet. It's a little too creepy for me.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's no blood or anything like that. It's very. It's done really subtly. It's not like too bad, but it's kind of interesting. And that's about all I've played with it. It's cool. It's kind of got these anime cutscenes and so forth. It's a little bit different style than I'm used to in RPG, that's for sure. But it's definitely interesting, and I think I'm gonna play a lot more of it this weekend, just because I won't be at home, and I want to get through Lost Odyssey before I really get into it. But since I'm going to be away most of the weekend at the girlfriend's place, I'll probably bring my PS2 around, and because she's going out all day Saturday, so I might as well play that while she's gone. And and like Jason, I didn't buy Brawl. I think my girlfriend should be buying it, and I had an offer to play it last Sunday all day long, but because of Rock Band night, I was too sore to move, and my head wasn't feeling all right there, if you know what I'm saying. I wasn't feeling too well. So I never left my bedroom. Basically.
Nice.
So that's about it for that's all for me. Short week.
Cool deal.
Man, what's our deal? We're in a slump.
Hey, I've been playing games, man. I don't know about you guys.
You don't matter.
I've been playing a lot.
Well, you do now. We just told you.
Well, let's see. On PS3, I finished Resistance. And I have to say, I was not very impressed with the ending. But that's
what I've heard. A lot of people don't like it.
Well, I mean, it's like there's not really a final boss battle. There's like it's like, you know, did you guys beat Uncharted? I know,
yeah,
Jason,
yeah.
You said you beat it, right? Okay. Uh-huh. You know the quote unquote boss battle?
Yes.
It's less of a boss battle than that.
Really?
Wow.
Like there is none. So it's, I don't know. It's weird, but you know, I'm still looking forward to seeing where they go with it in the second one. So we'll see. Played some more Rock Band. Mm-hmm. I actually played Rock Band a little bit before the podcast tonight, too, because I downloaded Paramore, because I am now obsessed with them, and that song was really fun. So
I don't care about the other people in the band, but that lead singer? Hells
yeah,
yes.
She is, like, super punky cute. I have no idea what it is, but, yeah. Anyway.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Paramore, it's a...
The band, actually.
Yeah, it's a band, and it's a chick band. Well, it's not a chick band, but it's got a chick lead singer, and you know she's really punky and she's really cute.
Okay.
And so yeah, but let's see. I also downloaded the demo from the Japanese store for Echochrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. It's really cool. The only problem I have is that the demo is too damn short. It's like I got to the. It's like you get the practice stages. It's like, okay, you can move this over a gap, and now the gap's not there, and you can, you know, if you can't see the hole, then the hole's not there, and if there's a hole and there's, like, track below you, you'll fall onto that track, and so there's, like, five little training levels, and then they put you through, like, three or four real levels, and then the demo's over. So it was really, really short. Huh. But it does, you know, whet my appetite for it. I am looking forward to it now, and I probably will definitely buy it. But that's it for PS3. 360 I'm going to come back to. PSP, I started playing some of Hades Challenges in God of War.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those are hard.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm trying to get through them, but it's, I'm stuck on, like, the second one. I only played it, like, two or three times, but it's like, you have to take on, like, two of the, you know, the dual-wielding dudes that have the fire swords, basically.
The annoying guys, yeah.
Yeah. You have to beat 20 of them without getting hit.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't, like, recoil when you hit them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, I've been playing more Patapon. I've gotten to a point where I need to get an item to move on, so I'm having to do the same hunting mission over and over again to try and get this item, but
that's the exact reason I didn't pick up that game. I just read everywhere about all the repetitiveness of replaying levels over and over again. I'm like, I will not get into that.
Well,
it's
the
first thing I don't want to play.
The levels only last like 2 or 3 minutes, so it's not really that big of a deal. But you know, It's just kind of like you get to a point where you've you know, gone through a hunting mission like three times, and it's just like, just die already, you fucking bird. You know, so. Let's see. DS, I've been you know, messing with Professor Layton a little bit more. Got probably another 5 puzzles in. I haven't been touching it a whole lot, but yeah, that's, it's still fun, and I want to finish it up. Mm-hmm. 360, I played a lot of Devil May Cry.
Good.
So I'm now at the point where, like mission 12, where you get to start using Dante.
Okay.
So I haven't actually used Dante yet, but you know, I'm getting there.
You're ready for that.
Right. I love this game. I really do. But there's a couple things that are just like, you know, you get through it and you're just like, why? You know? And I was talking to Jason about this, and it's like, you walk into a room and all of a sudden there's a statue that mimics you, and it's a board game.
Yep.
And not only is it a board game, but it's a pointless board game, because Jeff, I don't know if you noticed this, but the die roll is not random at all.
No?
No, it's not. It sequences, like, you know how it flips around when it's sitting on the ground? It flips around, like, to the different numbers?
Okay.
Well, while it's flipping, it's a pattern. It goes to each of the 6 numbers in a pattern. And if you hit it at the exact moment that one number is on top, that's what it's going to land on.
Oh, really?
Every time. So it's like, I actually was playing it, and the first time I played it, I just, you know, I happened to notice it, and I was halfway through the board by the time I noticed it, and then I had to save the game, and I had to, like, go to work or something. I don't know what I was doing. So I had to come back, and I had to do it again. The second time through, I made it through the entire board without actually having to encounter an enemy, because I was just landing on all the blue spots. And it was just, I don't know, it was just dumb.
Every single review, they mention that level of how much it's, like, bad level design and terrible, and I'm not sure if they had a hard time with that leveling up, but both times I had to go through that area, I got through without a problem. I had to fight, like, a few things, but, like, I didn't know the trick like you did, but I guess, like, I just got lucky. So I didn't find, like, Jason, did you have problems going through that level? Because I didn't see what
the first
deal.
Time,
like, I didn't think it was that
first
bad.
First time through, I don't want to spoil too much, but you do have to go through it again at some point. And that second time through, I breezed right through it, luckily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I didn't have that much trouble the first time through when I was encountering enemies, because it's not like they throw the really tough shit at you.
Yeah, like, you know? I could see it being annoying if you kept rolling, like, reverse, where you had to go back a few spaces when you land on those yellow spots or whatever. Like, I could see that being annoying if you kept, like, oh, fuck, come on, but I don't know. But then again,
I don't mind it, because I like the combat. The only time it pisses me off is if it's right in front of a boss battle, and I know that I might be short on life or something.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't mind the combat. So
that's, I love the combat. The combat is a blast.
Yeah.
You know, it's very simple and deep at the same time. Uh-huh. And I mean, I know you guys have mentioned this too, and I really like that about it. You know, it's not about button mashing. It's about hitting the buttons and timing it right so you can pull off certain combos.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
But you could go through it at just mashing buttons if you want.
Oh, yeah, you could go through it.
Oh, yeah.
But what fun would that be?
Right, right. But, you know, someone who doesn't have, you know, say, the impeccable timing that apparently Chris Riccio does.
Whatever.
you know, maybe they just want to...
He's a ninja with a 360 controller.
Stupid dice. It's not random at all. This game is stupid.
I figured it out in 10 seconds.
No, it took... I noticed it about halfway through the board. Because I think I just tried it, and I was like, where's the next blue space? Oh, the next blue space is like 4 things away. So I started timing it. I was like watching the pattern, and I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to hit it on a 4 and see what happens. And I hit it, and it landed on 4. And I'm like, well, shit, I hope it doesn't do that every time. And, you know, I kept doing it, and it worked. And I was like, fuck, this is, you know, what's the point?
You're being rewarded for your ninja skills.
Yeah, right.
Because I noticed the pattern,
my
too.
My Devil Hunter skills.
I couldn't do it consistently, so I was punished for it, for not having the Uber Lead skills that you do. You were not punished, you were rewarded by being, you know, whisked through the board.
Whatever.
Think of it that way.
Well, the only other part that I got to that just gave me one of those what-the-fuck moments was that the spinning stair of blades or whatever, and, you know, where you have to slow it down and you have to jump up the blades.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you get to the top one, and it's going faster than everything else, and the camera angle is not very good, so you don't know which direction to jump. Mm-hmm. And I think I fell like 18 times. I mean, it wasn't that much, but seriously, it felt like it. Yeah. And when I finally made it, I was like, good God, thank you very much. So it was just a pain in the ass, but but I mean,
I blame that one on poor camera angle for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, the camera angle was definitely not where it needed to be.
A little suspect.
Right.
Yeah. Did you guys watch some of those YouTube videos of people playing that game? Like, there's stuff in there I didn't even know you could do.
Oh, really?
Some of the combos were messing out, and like some of these moves I was seeing, like I didn't even know you could do all this. Like, yeah, just go on YouTube and just search Devil May Cry 4, like SSS combo or something like that, and you'll just see some ridiculous stuff I had no idea you could do.
I'm going to go check that out right now. Let's pause the podcast.
Crazy shit.
The one thing I do really like about it is the boss battles. Because some of the bosses are just really well designed and just fun as hell.
Mm-hmm.
His Holiness, I don't know what the hell they call him.
Oh, I forgot. No.
I don't remember what his name was.
But,
yeah. I will say that, you know, after he entered his quote-unquote final form or whatever, it was a little annoying at first, but I did finally end up beating him. But yeah, the boss battles are just a ton of fun, and I'm just loving the hell out of it. So I'm looking forward to going through it with Dante.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get to fight those bosses quite a few times.
Yeah, I know. I heard 2 more times each, I think, right? Something like that?
At least.
4 times.
Nice.
Yeah.
Could be.
Well, the other game that I played this week, I played some more Mass Effect.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
I heard something was released for it. Something that I was
spread. Yeah, they released their downloadable content for 400 points.
Not bad.
They did.
Yeah, it's Bring Down the bucks. Sky. All about the Batarians and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And I was so thoroughly disappointed.
Oh.
Really?
I was so excited, man. I literally started the download and started the game up right away because I wanted to restart my character and get to the point where I could get her off the Citadel. And yeah, I'm playing with my chick character again because number one, she was really fun, and number two, she's closer to 60 than my other guy, so you know, need to get that level 60 achievement and all that crap. But so I get off the Citadel, and there's a new, like, you know how like all the story missions are marked? Well, there's a new one that's marked. So I go there, and it's on an asteroid. And the asteroid has like these 3 huge jets on it, and they tell you this in like the description of the mission. But like in all the news posts about it have said it, so I'm not really spoiling anything. But and the asteroid is flying towards this planet that's populated with humans. So you land on the planet, and it's the same planet with a different skin as all the other side quests, and it's the same cookie cutter bullshit. You go to 3 different buildings, and all 3 buildings are that cookie cutter building where you walk in and you're in a little room, and there's a door, and you open the door, and there's a lower level, and then there's like an upper level that has just like a hallway and a room. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's 3 of those buildings, and you go in the buildings, and you kill a bunch of baddies, and you flip a switch, and that's
it.
So it's like
then there's a 4th building. Yeah, pretty much. That's like 90% of all the side missions. But there's a 4th building. And I got really excited. I entered the 4th building, and I was like, oh, I might have spoke too soon. There's a new map. You know, it's got a new map and everything. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm really excited now. I get to explore this map. And I walk in, and I get attacked from all sides. I'm like, all right, no problem. You know, I'll get through these baddies first, and then I'll go explore this new map. So I get through the baddies, and then the boss pops up. I'm like, what? And then he starts attacking me, and I kill the boss, and the mission's over. I'm like, I didn't even get to explore this new map. What the fuck? You know, and I got my 50 achievement points. I'm like, oh, fucking yay.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed, and, you know, I really did expect a more in-depth mission, like the story missions, like Pharos and stuff like that. And
especially cash money.
Yeah, I mean, you're paying $5 for it, and $5 is a reasonable price, I think. But, you know, they said it was 90 minutes of content. It took me a little less than an hour, I think, to beat it, you know, which is what we expected.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just, I mean, it would have been so much better if they would have put a little bit more effort into it. I mean, let me explore this new map that you put on the board, and I would have been satisfied. If there was, like, if I was able to spend maybe even 10 minutes, like, walking through different rooms in this new map, and then find the boss and kill him, I would have been happy. But I walked into this new map, and I was attacked, and then the boss came, and that was it. And, I don't know.
Sounds exhilarating.
Do you at least get to communicate with anyone, like talk to people? And
well, yeah, I mean, you talk to a bunch of the Batarians, and there is a, you know, there's a scene where you actually have to have a dialogue. So there is a specific dialogue tree with this one Batarian, and you know that's kind of interesting too. And you know, you get to use intimidate or charm on him, or you can just blow him to hell and do it that way. But yeah, I mean, so there's the dialogue was there, and they didn't do a whole lot with the Batarians. It was like you walk into the first building and they see you. It's like, humans, kill them, and you know, you go and you do that, and then there's the dialogue you have with the last in the last building, and then he tells you where the boss is, and then there's a dialogue when you talk with the boss, and that's pretty much it.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it's
so you're not recommending it, basically.
I don't know. Because, I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't have fun playing it. I mean, if you're going to play the game again, I would say go ahead and download it. Because it's an additional mission that you'll get to do. And it is interesting. You know, it is a new race. And let me tell you something. Their engineers, their tech guys, are fucking wicked. I mean, I walked into, like, the first battle. And I walked in, I, like, popped off, like, two or three shots, and then all of a sudden my gun was overheating and I couldn't use anything. I'm like, holy crap! So, but, I mean, that's the first time that's happened with this character for me.
Oh, really?
So they're, yeah. I mean, that usually, I think that might have happened to me during the regular game once when I was going through it with my abiotic chick. In this, like, mission, in this downloadable mission, it happened to me 3 times. I mean, they're really, really effective. So that's one thing that they did really well with them. And, you know, it's interesting, and, you know, they kind of, at the end of the mission, they leave it open for things. I think that's good. So I would say if you're going to play the game again, or if you're in the middle of playing the game right now, go ahead and download it and do it, because it is, I mean, I think it would be worth it. But, you know, I've played the game through twice already. You know, I was expecting something more than just another side.
Yeah, you wanted something new,
Something new. I mean, this is one of the best games that I've played in a very, very long time, and I wanted something new, and I didn't really get it. So,
yeah.
I was somewhat disappointed, but I will not say not to get it, because Jason, I know you bought it, and you just haven't played it yet, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to go through it, and I think you will enjoy it, but I have a feeling you're going to come away with that stale taste in your mouth because of the fact that it's just cookie-cutter shit.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Coopy.
But, yeah. For the next downloadable content that they bring out, I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to wait until I hear about it. And if it sounds like it'll be something interesting, then I'll get it, but I'm not going to jump on it like I did this one. So,
cool.
That's it.
Okay.
That was my week. I wanted to vent about Mass Effect a little bit, and I'm done. So, yeah. Better. Jeff, I'll hand it off to you. Let's go on to news.
All right. Some news, I guess, since this is kind of a good transition here. BioWare has said that in Mass Effect 2, they're going to have deeper side quests that involve more of the main storyline and reflect more on the main storyline. So they're looking for missions. You might do a side mission that might do something, or you might have to do something that'll have a direct impact on the actual story
right. Inside
that game. So that's they're going to flesh those out. So that would be kind of cool. And I guess the reason is, well, they've done making the engine, they've done making the games, and they can focus on, you know, doing little details like that. So that's some good news for everyone, every Mass Effect fan, and looks like they should address your problem there, Chris.
Yeah,
and hopefully they put some more thought into the, because you know there's going to be more downloadable packs coming for the first one.
Oh, we're right, because there's you're allowed. Microsoft allows what?
250. Like
250 additional achievements.
Extra.
And this pack was only 50 points, so technically there's 4 more coming if you think about it. Well, there could be 4 more coming, or they could make bigger ones. You know, who knows? But. You know, the whole intertwining the side quests with the story, That's great and all, but I want to see non-cookie cutter bullshit. Please.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Yeah. I want non-cookie cutter bullshit. I don't care if it has an effect on the story. I just don't want to go through the same thing over and over again.
It just gets repetitive and boring as ass.
Right.
Big news. The whole EA Take-Two thing has kind of taken a turn for the worse. Well, I guess worse depending on who you are, but EA is kind of pulling the hostile takeover over Take-Two, which mm-hmm. basically means that they told their investor or the shareholders of Take-Two that, hey, we will offer up $26 per share for your shares of Take-Two. So basically, since it's a public company, if they all decide to, you know what, sell their stuff, EA could be the owners of Take-Two without Take-Two even having a say in it. Yeah. So, yeah, Take-Two has come out and basically told their shareholders, guys, just kind of stand off for now. We're going to rethink the offer. We may accept it kind of thing, which I'm sure they're not happy about, because basically Take-Two was holding out for more money. They didn't think that what EA offered was enough. And but, yeah, it looks like they don't really have a say in it now. So either way, it looks like EA will own Take-Two.
Bastards.
Sometime soon, no matter. Sorry,
no,
go ahead.
I agree with you, bastards. This is not good news at all.
No, it's not good at all. Well, it's not good if the thing is, if some companies that really wanted to could be like, fuck it and quit anyway, because Rockstar could just be like, you know what? We don't want to work for EA. They can all quit and there you go. They don't, whatever. They might, who knows who owns GT? Is that Rockstar or is that Take-Two who owns GTA? Because that's really the big moneymaker there.
I think it's Rockstar.
Is it Rockstar? Because if Rockstar owns GTA, they can just split and be like, fuck it, we don't want to be part of EA, I'll quit, start up another company or whatever, and then continue to make GTA.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not the reason for this, though.
The reason for this
is the sports games.
Well, no, it is a sports game, but I don't think it's just the sports games. The sports games on the 2K Sports series don't sell enough to offer, what was it, $2 billion, something like that, for Take-Two? It's not worth that, but they want it because they want to have the monopoly of sports, which is why I'm worried that if they take Take-Two and say, listen, make your basketball game as it is, we'll just call it NBA Live, I'm happy with that, as long as they keep that version of the basketball. But if they do the opposite and say, you know what, guys, we want you guys to make the next Live with the current Live team, whatever, I'll be pretty pissed, because,
Yeah.
And hockey, I couldn't care less, because 2K's hockey went down the dumps last few years, so.
Oh, did it?
Oh, yeah. Like 2K Sports, the only one that's really, really this, like head and shoulders above EA is basketball. That's pretty much it. But then again, they will own BioShock as well, right? Because 2K Boston in Australia.
Yeah, that's true. There's some pretty big IPs in there for EA to grab, so.
Yeah. It's just funny how not even a year ago, Take-Two was on the verge of claiming bankruptcy, and now they're getting offered $2 million to be bought out.
$2 billion.
Yeah.
And it's not enough for them to be bought out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because GTA is right around the corner. Little bit of news. Capcom's they're all about the remakes now. We saw Bionic Commando is going to be released hopefully sometime soon. Also remaking 1942. I put in this especially for Chris. I'm guessing, Chris, you were probably a big fan of this game.
I was a very big fan. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing. And, you know, I do love my shmups, and I haven't had a really, really good one in a long time. So I'm looking forward to it.
It looks pretty cool. They updated just like Bionic Commando. New graphics, new everything, new special effects. So look for that most likely on Xbox Live and PSN sometime in the future.
Oh, yeah.
And still with the remakes and Capcom. Street Fighter 2 HD is apparently not gimped on either console. Back in the day.
Way back.
There's a scare that the 360 version was going to be gimped for features or content and whatnot because of the file size thing that Microsoft puts restraint on. And then there's kind of rumor that because of that, Capcom was also going to gimp the PS3 one because they didn't want any difference between the two games. They wanted both to be the same. So Capcom spokesman came out and said, listen, they're fine. They're both going to be identical. We haven't had to cut any kind of features or anything from the two. And Chris, we had this discussion before. Like, what do you think of this? You think that it was definitely being gimped,
I think it's
right?
All bullshit. I think it's bullshit. I mean, there's way too much difference in the sprites, the way they were before and the way they are now.
Well, we haven't touched on that yet. I was going to say that.
Well, okay, go ahead.
There was on the Capcom blog, on the blog for Street Fighter 2 HD, they have comparison pics of before and after what they looked like what they want them to look like, and how they're actually going to look like. And there is a loss of detail. Like, there's a noticeable loss. They still look great. But this is the thing. Can you go ahead, Chris? Speak your argument first, because I don't think it makes sense for Capcom to put up pictures of before and after before it's brought up till someone calls them out and says, hey, wait a second. Because they just did this. They just threw this on the board. It's like, hey, here's before pictures, here's after pictures. I don't see why would they even do that
if damage they were gimping.
Damage control. It's so they
but
don't have
no
to go through
for
it.
Damage control. There's no reason for damage control yet. No one has
it's
called
preemptive.
Them out and be like,
hey. Obviously, because people are chomping at the bit for this thing, and they've been promising to the high heavens, you know, that this is what it's going to look like. I mean, yeah. It was such a spectacle when each character was introduced. You know, the art for it. You know, it would get leaked, and it you know, it was a media circus practically. You know, and yeah. Now to have them scale back. You know, it's
a significant scale back.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if
it's
you look at those pictures,
okay, if you look at the pictures or even the videos, it's like it is significant if you look at them. Still, like, oh, okay, there's a whole bunch of detail missing in, say, muscle mm-hmm. definition or whatnot. Which, for mm-hmm. one, it does look more realistic now. Like,
okay, the muscle definition, I'm okay with. I don't care that they scaled that back. But look at his look at the sleeve, like the of his shirt. You know, there's so much detail missing from the shirt. There's detail missing. There's color
shading.
Missing from the pants.
Yeah, the shading.
Yeah, a lot of shading is missing.
I'll say that I think I like this better because it looks more sprite based, and I just prefer it. I think it's softer. It's, you know, they got rid of the high amount of shading, especially the muscle tone. Those were
it was ridiculous.
Those were rather odd to me. I didn't particularly care for them, but I do prefer the new sprite style a little bit better, and I think it's fine the way that they're going. I think it's a good idea that they're doing this.
Yeah, it's still
if they
looks
really
good.
Were running into problems, you know, with farming out the animation, you know, they took it away from that. I mean, animation team, and they kind of rethought it. You know, they didn't push out something that they thought was going to be shitty, and you know, good for them. Now, whether or not that's really the case, that's kind of what's up for debate.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is, like, I would agree with. You, Chris, normally, but the fact that this announcement of they're going to be identical and these pitches going up basically almost on the same day just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense to put that preemptive damage control on so early the same day you happen to say, hey, listen, they're both the same. I think if it was a cover, it would make more sense. Like, maybe they just have, if whoever's doing damage control at Capcom just doesn't have a good idea of timing, but either wait for someone to publicly call them out or show the pictures off first of how it's going to be. And then say, hey, by the way, it's not going to be gimped on either one. But to say, hey, it's not going to be gimped on either one. Hey, look at these before and after pics. Oh, my God, there's a huge difference. Because that's
what was their show that they just had earlier this week?
The Witch?
Because there's been an embargo on the Xbox Live arcade games, like Commando 3. Because they had the show a little while ago, and they did have, you know, HD Remix playable there. So people got to play that stuff. But, and, you know, with the new sprites, and... yeah, there was a little embargo. So, yeah, when the embargo was lifted, that's when they had to step up and say, okay, you know, before, you know, the blogs and the news sites start, you know, just bashing us for this, you know, we've got to make a little official announcement.
Yeah.
Damage control.
And that's – that. And I really – I know you guys don't agree with me, but this is because of the Xbox Live size limit, in my opinion. I think it is. I know that you guys don't, or I know that, Jeff, you don't. But
well, my main question to you was if it comes out to be more than... Because he said that Microsoft is working with them. He didn't specify how exactly. It could possibly mean that they're lifting the restriction for them. It's happened before. So if that does happen, Chris, you know, and it is, you know, 200 meg, 250 or something like that, will that change your opinion?
Yes, probably.
Okay.
But I just it seems way too convenient. It's like... That, you know, they've been saying we're having trouble reaching the size, staying in the size limit. We might have to cut stuff, this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden it's, hey, we changed the sprites and they're much less detailed now. Oh, but we can fit it on the 150 megs that Xbox Live restricts us to. You know, I just think it's way too convenient. And I think that the whole animation bit and the outsourcing is just a cover up. Basically, it's just a BS story to keep us happy. And I mean, I'll agree with you guys. I still think it looks great. You know, I'm not going to take anything away from it, but it does look significantly less detailed than it did, significantly. And I mean, I'm looking at the pictures right now. I mean, his headband, his belt, his sleeves. I mean, and as I said, I don't care about the muscle tone because I thought that was way overdone anyway. I actually like the skin and the muscle tone better the way it is, but the clothing is what really is getting me.
Yeah. But we can also look at, we can also speculate on how it's going to work online. For all we know, this could be online issues too. Because when you have all that detail stuff going through, that's going to create more bandwidth, will it not? Because it obviously would. If it's going to make the file size bigger, it would also have the same effect on bandwidth, right?
No.
So for all we know, it could be, hey, we couldn't get this shit running online. We have to do it too. So we never will know the real story. That's just what they're saying publicly. Right. But I'm just saying people shouldn't go out there and write off, oh my God, it's because Microsoft has this limitation, because other games have been fine with this limitation. And if they were going to raise it for Castlevania, a game that really, I'm not sure, it probably sold well on Xbox Live, but if they were willing to raise it for Symphony of the Night, but they weren't going to raise it or think about raising it for Street Fighter II HD Remix, which will, I can guarantee, will sell a shitload more than Castlevania.
Oh, no doubt.
On crap.
No doubt. But, you know, it's Microsoft. They don't make much sense anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Look at the price of their hard drive. There's your first proof. Sorry.
Yeah, need to lower that shit.
I agree.
I'm trying to keep very optimistic about it.
I saw the video that they posted, and it still looks great. You know, I'm not going to take anything away from it, but, you know, I can see the missing detail, and it's
yeah, no, we're not arguing the missing detail and the missing. People are just so quick to jump at it's Microsoft because of the size. It could be literally a million different factors.
Yeah, you're right.
But everyone just wants to jump. It's got to be the file size, because when they first said there was a file size problem, what they said was that we were having problems getting all the features into the 150 meg limit. So let's just say, like, mention this on the boards, that let's just say that they said, okay, crap, we are having problems with animation. We are having problems with internet, let's say we're having problems with outsourcing. We had to scale back because it was way too hard to render, or for the artist to render what we wanted the detail for. But when they did that, as a side effect, what happened was it actually made it smaller naturally, so they could fit in all those features. Could be like, oh crap, like we did that, now we can fit everything in without a problem. Let's let everyone know it's not a big issue. Like Bethesda did with Oblivion for PS3. They duplicated the code to make loading times bearable because they were ridiculously long on PS3, but the outcome of that was it actually made the loading times faster than the 360 and PC versions. That wasn't their intention, but it just kind of happened because they just did it, like, oh, wow, cool. Yeah. When that could easily be, like, the case, too, because they never said anything that they'd have you dropping sound or graphical detail. They always went for features, and no features are being cut out of either one. So, yeah, who knows? Well, it could be a million things.
I'm sticking to what I think, and I said my part, so I will stay quiet, and you can move on when you're ready.
We all spoke our part.
But speaking of like Super Street Fighter,
I was going to say, which we haven't talked about enough. If you buy Commando 3 on Xbox Live Arcade for 360, you get into the Street Fighter 2 HD beta, which
That's
will
awesome.
Run for. It is awesome. It will run for eight weeks. H is now a number. 8 weeks long. You only get to choose between Ken or Ryu, and there's one stage, but it will be online, and that's pretty cool. I mean, that's better than nothing.
Yeah, sure.
I'll take it.
No word yet whether or not it's coming out on, it's going to be an offer for PSN as well. I was kind of hoping it was, just because I'm most likely going to get this for PlayStation just because of the D-pad on the PlayStation controller.
Uh-huh.
So, but hey, I might as well try it on 360, see how it is first.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that came as a surprise to me, too. I like this up to, like...
To be honest, I've never played Commando 2. I didn't even know that they made Commando 2, but I played the hell out of the first one.
Yeah, I think I only played the first one, too, actually.
Oh, dude, funny story, actually. I was playing the Commando on the, you know, on the NES at, like, my grandma's house over Christmas or something like that, and my aunt brought over her boyfriend, and he's like, oh, cool, you've got Commando. I love this game. I actually used to test this game, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you suck. And he starts tossing grenades out, and he's like, there's a secret area. And I'm like, that is the coolest thing. You are a god to me. I had never known about this stuff, and he knew exactly what he was doing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's my interesting
cool
story.
Stuff. More cool stuff. This is probably caught me by surprise. Mario Kart Wii has a US release date of April 27th.
Yay!
That's interesting.
I didn't honestly, guys, I didn't expect this for a long time, like late summer, fall-ish, because I figured they're... that's their next big gun.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't expect it to be this soon after Brawl. You know,
yeah, no,
I thought it was going to be like, okay, here's Brawl. This will keep you busy for about 3-4 months, and then we'll release, you know, maybe August or whatever. You know,
yeah,
and then,
yeah, that's usually how it goes.
And now it's like, well, what do you have for hardcore gamers at Christmas?
Yeah, nothing yet.
Nothing. I mean, it's like...
Wii Fit's in April, too, isn't it?
Yes. I want to say yes.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
Pretty sure it is. So both their big guns are going to be released in April.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But Mario Kart, hey, it's on. I'm going to get that one. That's one I won't be able to pass up. Mario Kart's just too awesome.
Yeah. Especially with the online.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then there's that text chat thing, but whatever.
Yeah, we get it. That's a whole other can of worms. We could dedicate a feature to how shitty the Wii Online is.
It's May 19th.
But Wii Fit is?
Yeah, it looks like it. That's
what
EB says. I don't know if that's accurate, but it could be one of those things where, okay, all of our pre-orders for the first whatever shipments are gone, so
yeah,
you know, that's the next time we're going to have it, or something like that.
All right, well, more sequel news. MotorStorm 2 details got released on Wednesday. There was a new trailer released on Wednesday around, I think it was 6 p.m. or something like that. Well, Eastern time. It's going to feature 16 brand new tracks. It's going to take place on more like a tropical island type setting. So it's going to be jungles and as well as desert and apparently snow as well. I'm pretty sure I read snow, yeah. 4-player split screen and 16-player online are some of the features that have been announced. Did you guys check out the trailer?
I did.
Yeah. It's cool, but again, it's target footage again, which really pissed me off. I was like, no, don't do this to us again.
No, it wasn't. It was CG. They came straight out and said it was CG.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it was CG, but I wanted to see gameplay footage, man. I was like,
well, yeah. I mean, we all want to see gameplay footage, but, you know, they did say that basically what the CG trailer was showing, you know, visually it might not match up, but the gameplay will be similar. And, you know, there's that part where the truck knocks over that tower. And you see, like, the ATV guy jump over it, and then one of the bike guys goes underneath it, and the other, like, the chick on the bike tries to go underneath it, and slams her head, falls off the bike. I'm like, if they can actually implement something like that...
That'd be cool.
That would be really fucking cool. I mean, because, you know, MotorStorm had some interaction with environments as well, but nothing to that extent.
Nothing like that, no.
You know? I mean, that would just be really cool.
It would be. Are we going to talk about NPDs today or no?
I love NPDs.
Let's not bore Jason.
All right, so no NPDs, because I was going to say this goes along with it. That
well, you don't have to get the numbers. You can talk about them real quick. Just say, hey, Nintendo did really well. Or
do you have the numbers in front of you? If you don't,
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I have a rough idea of what they were.
Yeah,
I looked at them today. But just before we get to that, I was going to say that MS stated just before this that 360 is sharing 42% of the market share in regards to software, hardware, and accessories.
Come the percentages and the numbers. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on.
And it's got a 7-to-1 game to console ratio. And I was like, why would they be releasing this information for like kind of no reason? And it looked like relatively true numbers because they are pretty true. Like I know 360 has a huge ratio, and plus their accessories are way too overpriced. So that would make a reason why they're bringing in a lot of money for accessories. But the NPD numbers came out today, and PS3 actually outsold 360 again for the second straight month, but only by about, I think it was about 30,000 units. But I think 360 was about 254, was it? And then I think PS3 was around 270-something or 80-something, or PS3, sorry, just the PS2.
I'm looking for it. I just went to Kotaku real quick, and the first three stories from the top down was... Sony responds to NPDs, and it says, seems pleased. Right underneath it, it says, Microsoft responds to NPDs, seems pleased. And then underneath that, it's Nintendo.
That's hilarious. Well, Microsoft's still calling out shortages again, of course.
But. Yeah. Okay. I want to comment on this only because last month they said the same thing about January. And January, I did notice that, you know, whereas I could find 360s, it wasn't hard. You know, even the Elite and the Premiums, I did see, but it was more of the Halo and the Core, which are the shitty bundles.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no one's...
But this time around, I mean, I go to Best Buy once a week, And when I go to Best Buy, all four SKUs were stocked up.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if it has to do with people's area or what, but they're around here. Let me see.
I don't think it's shortages.
Yeah, I don't believe that. No. But the real quick, DS is 587,600, and the Wii is 432,000. The PlayStation 2 is 351,000. PlayStation 3 was 280,000. 360 was 254,000. So it was about 25,000 difference there.
Overall, it's still a pretty shit month for everybody when you think about the last few months, but.
Well, that was holidays, man. This is normal.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, this is like normal stuff. But its numbers have dropped significantly. Except for PS2. Like Samdu was saying on GLF.
Yeah, good God, PS2.
Who the hell? There's 300,000 people in North America that still don't have a PS2?
Yeah. Like, come on. There's 350,000 people in North America that don't have a PS2 yet. What the hell's going on?
Other surprising things I know from the numbers is Devil May Cry 4, that those numbers came in. I know for a fact it's already the best-selling Devil May Cry game ever for the first month. I think it's sold just over 2 million worldwide on both consoles, but North America, the 360 version sold roughly 300,000. PS3 version sold, I think it was 230,000. So that's kind of interesting. Bigger installed base, but it just goes to show that people at 360 don't just want first-person shooters and racers. They want some of the action, too. That's pretty decent for a first month for both. So combined, it sold well over 500,000.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
Not too bad at all.
Oh, and Lost Odyssey was on the top 10, too. I think it was like number 6 or something with 200-something thousand, 203,000.
Yeah, you're right. Just happy. There it is right there, 203,600.
Yeah, because I was just happy for that, because I really want a sequel.
and for some reason, people went out and bought Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games for the fucking Nintendo DS. What the hell?
Yeah.
I'm trying to prep.
Oh, man. Weird. Anyway, let's move on.
That's it.
Enough boredom for now.
All right, cool. Almost done, almost done. You guys like food, right?
Are we back?
We're back.
Okay.
We're back.
By the way, we're back. We're done talking about MPDs. You can come back to the show.
We're talking about food now, Jason.
Yeah.
You like food, right? Food?
Devil May Cry videos were getting good. I'm sorry.
Food, Jason. Food. Come on, focus.
I am
you like
hungry.
Food? You have to eat food every day?
Yeah, usually.
So you like to make yourself a sandwich every once in a while?
That is such a great experience. I'd love to do that. I always spaghetti too.
Love to make a sandwich or spaghetti. It's fun. You know, Chris, making a pizza.
Jeff, where are you going with this, man? I'm going, come on.
How do you think that would be in a video game, maybe? You know, store it on a video game you can use with your Wii or your DS?
Well, making a sandwich. You know, if I was, like, out of food or something like that, and, you know, I really wanted to make something to torture me maybe even more, I don't know. I guess I could see that.
Do you like watching TV? I gotta drag this out, man.
I'm noticing this.
I hate TV. I really do. I despise it.
All right.
Well, but you know what my wife has to watch all the time?
What?
It's Food Network.
Food? You know what? Really?
Well, really?
You know what? That's funny because your wife might be interested in the Iron Chef game for the Wii or a Nintendo DS.
Jeff, keep this down. She listens to the podcast, okay?
She might get too excited.
She might have to buy it and then, you know.
Okay. Make you play it?
Yeah.
So.
No, go ahead. Just let it out of the bag.
So last week we were talking about Major League Eating. And now we're doing.
Iron Chef.
Iron Chef.
Yep.
That's just awesome.
Okay.
Yep. What do we think about that one, guys?
So who gives a shit? I sense a new genre. You know, we're kind of into the rhythm gaming right now.
Who gives a shit genre?
No. The food-based genre, you know?
So the who gives a shit
genre. It's our hero, culinary, stuff, arts. CDR, all that crap. No, it's food-based. Yeah.
Wow.
It's the next big thing.
How exciting. I can't wait. I'm all over it.
Who's developing this?
News is done. Oh, God, I can't remember. It was some, like, developer I've never even heard of. If you guys want to go look it up, I can start with a D.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
You seriously want to know? Like, for real?
I was just trying to fill.
It was Square Enix.
Well, then I guess I'll have to be a special guest. And you know that would sell, it's gonna be the big 800,000 copies.
It's not actually Square Enix, guys, for people listening.
It's not?
Black Such Lantern the... Studios.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Published by Destineer. I don't know who the hell that
there
is.
There we go. Oh, yeah. There's a D in there somewhere.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, who gives a shit?
Well, that's news. Yeah, who gives a shit?
Because Cooking Mama wasn't enough.
We need my wife's going, I give a shit, asshole.
All right. Is that it for news?
That is it. That is everything.
All right, good, because I think I need a break after that one. All right, so you guys ready for a break?
Yeah,
I'm ready for a break.
I'm hungry. Right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the one console future and the concept of it, and then we'll do emails and new releases.
Okay.
Cool. Sounds good.
So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
I'll be in the bathroom.
Yay. I'm excited to hear that.
Nice.
This week's episode of the Interactive Distractions Podcast is sponsored by PocketOtaku.com. Rock the chibi.
Time once again for...
Nice Hooters.
Pig?
Lord Khan's Sexual Harassment Theater.
So, Striker, they say you're here to file a sexual harassment complaint?
Yes. Don't seem so surprised.
All right, who's been sexually harassing you?
Lots and lots of women here in Miniopia.
All right, what did they do?
There's looks.
There's looks?
There's looks.
There's looks. From women.
One of them called me... Baldy?
How is that sexual harassment, Striker?
Hello, the word ball is right in it. Oh, and this one time at the company, dude picked up the phone and paged through the whole office. Something about the size of my... package.
What?
She said, Striker, you got a large... package up front.
I mean, but...
Everybody left.
Did you have a large package up front?
Oh, I see. Now you're harassing me. I think I want to see your boss.
Tune in next time for another edition of Lord Khan's Sexual Harassment Theater.
And we are back.
We are.
I think it just feels... good to be back.
Okay, I'm just making sure that you're back with me. And
I was pondering.
Me.
I was pondering how it felt.
Okay, were you going to go back and watch more of your Devil May Cry videos or something? I don't know.
So you guys rudely interrupted me.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's my fault. I didn't mean to get in the way with the podcast or anything, you know.
Feeling better? Because I kind of felt like the middle child for a little bit during that last segment.
What?
I said, Mom and Dad, stop fighting.
Shut up.
Are we cool? Everyone good?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
All right, good. Just checking.
I mean, I feel like shit, but besides that, yeah. My allergies have been killing me this week.
Fucking trees.
Yeah, I know. Stop blooming! Anyway, so today we were going to talk about the one console future. And this is something that... Dennis Dyack is big on, and Dennis Dyack is from
Silicon Knights.
Thank you. Working on Too Human, guys, chime in whenever you want. But basically, the concept is that we won't have two or three competing consoles in the future. We'll just have one standard unit that will play, you know, whatever game is released, and you know, mm-hmm. publishers will only have to. Only have to create their game for one machine, and you know it'll be standard across the board. And this is something that Dennis Dyack is very much behind, and you know thinks it'll work. And you know thought we could talk about it and see what our listeners thought. Mm-hmm. Jason, did we get any emails on it?
We got a couple emails actually. We got a nice long one to start us out.
Okay.
Discussion. This is from the Sow, otherwise known as Bitch Pig.
Bitch Pig.
He actually starts it out. Bitch Pig here. Good show last week, and thanks for reading my story. You're very welcome. So the one console future. It's an interesting concept, and there are definitely some good points and bad points. The interesting thing is when I've talked with people about it, they seem to have the concept that the one console theory is based around a monopoly, and that's not really the case. The one console future is not the concept of only this PlayStation 3 or the 360 or the Starbucks smoke-a-lock, date-shot-day-ya-ya. The idea is a single standard of hardware that can be competitively made by different manufacturers. From that standpoint, it doesn't just help the developers and publishers, but also the consumers. Competition in the marketplace is what makes technology and luxury items like gaming consoles affordable. Very true. What's really killing consoles right now from a consumer standpoint is the exclusivity of games. My consoles have and always will be bought based on games. I need reasons to buy consoles, and those reasons are always the exclusive games. Games like Madden don't matter because, you know, they're playable on damn near every system. Sure, SD versus HD, control schemes, and online capabilities are always a factor, but if I only have one system, that's not going to stop me from getting a game I want for that one system. As of right now, I don't own a 360, but I can guarantee you that by the time Ninja Gaiden and 2 Human come out, I will. Now imagine a scenario that no longer mattered because you were developing to one standard. The cost of developing the game is reduced, and you get to hit the entire population. That's a pretty sweet deal for a third-party publisher. Do we suffer for that? No. We can buy a system that conforms to a standard with the guarantee that we will be able to play every console game out there that fits the standard. We also have the benefit of a multitude of manufacturers making our system, which means less problems getting one around the holidays and a competitive pricing structure. It's also the benefit of people like me that want to do indie development. To automatically know what system you're developing for makes the development process tremendously easier. No more WiiWare, XNA, or whatever Sony's trademark is. Only an open system to develop on. If you were to take the best of all the worlds, you would take the Blu-ray disc of the PS3, the online and exclusivity of the 360, and an option to use a control scheme of the Wii. And you have an amazing experience. If you think of it as a one-console standard, and not so much as a single console, it becomes a very intriguing possibility. Keep making them, and I'll keep listening to them. The sound.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
He actually brought up a couple of things that was mentioned on the topic that we created in VG Evo.
Oh, yeah.
There's some really good discussion in there, too, that if you guys haven't read it, I suggest definitely go read that topic, because there's some really good stuff in there. But one of the things that he mentioned that was brought up is who makes it, you know, and that was a big question. Okay, well, if there's one console future, you know, is it going to be just one maker? And I don't know about you guys, but whenever I thought about this, I thought about the 3DO. Do you guys remember the 3DO?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, the 3DO was actually made to be a gaming, like, it's a standard. It wasn't like just the Panasonic 3DO, because Gold Star made one too.
Yeah,
you know, and they kept the prices competitive. You know,
what?
When it got well, not at first, but it was $700 at first. But you know, by the time all was said and done, you can get one for $200. You know, but that's kind of the way I that Bitch Pig is is talking about it. That's kind of the way I think of it too. Is, you know, sure, we'll have this gaming standard, and Sony will make them, Panasonic will make them. Sharp, you know,
yeah.
and you know, all these different electronics companies, and it'll be like a DVD player, but it's a game player. And that's kind of the way I thought about it.
That's the way I would have looked at it too.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that he brought up that I thought was interesting was reduced development cost.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I'm not sure what to say about that. I think that it would kind of reduce development costs, but then they would take, because basically what it would save is like for, you know,
having to port from one system to the other.
Right, exactly. For developers that are porting from one system to the other, you don't have to spend those resources porting from one system to the other. So you're going to funnel those resources back into the game, and what you end up is more bang for your buck, really.
Yeah,
so
you get more return on investment. Like a good example of that would be Devil May Cry 4, how it sold. If it wasn't multi-platform,
yeah, it wouldn't have sold.
You could say it wouldn't have sold even close to as much. So it's basically guaranteeing the company, if they make a good game, that they could reach a much broader audience. And because development costs right now are through the roof, so it would make much sense that way.
Right now we're in a situation where you know, a lot of companies feel like they can't afford not to go multi-platform because of the price, the cost of development. And, you know, you turn around and you make it, let's say, okay, well, here's one console. Well, I don't have to port, so now I can funnel all these resources back into the game and make the game better. Right. So, yeah. You know, I think that could result in higher quality games, you know, or we'll see games of the same quality, but they'll be released quicker because there's not that time that's being spent porting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's hard to, you know, there's a lot of things about it that, you know, make me go back and forth.
Yeah. In terms of games, it's tough because a lot of people are afraid that competition won't be as high. But I think competition will be much higher if it was one console because every game is directly competing with every other game. Whereas now, the exclusives on each console really don't have competition. Like Metal Gear Solid 4, not going to have any competition really on the PlayStation 3.
True.
But what's exclusive to? And like Halo 3, not going to have really any competition for 360 in regards to sales or hype or anything exclusive. So really, they don't have anything to lose if they're locked up in an exclusivity deal. If they're not, then of course they have to make their game stand out. But if you have to have your game on a machine that plays every single other game that's going to be made, then I think that's actually putting more pressure on the developers because it basically turns every single developer into a third-party developer, which have, I think, the biggest weight on their shoulders to produce something that the gaming public wants to actually play and wants to get their hands off over the next guy's game, you know what I mean? So that might be a good thing.
He also went somewhere that I was thinking about. Because one of the things that was brought up was, you know, well, how are we going to get stuck with, like, what if the Wii was the one console? That was something that I think Black Skimmer said on the board. He said that, you know, well, what if the one console was the Wii for this generation? And, mm-hmm. you know, the Sal pointed something out. It's like if it was a one console, you know, if it was only one console, it wouldn't be the Wii in the form that it is right now. It would be, you know... It'd be the PS3 with the graphics chip that the 360 is using. Yeah. It wouldn't have segmented RAM. It would run Xbox Live or something similar, and it would have the motion controls of the Wii. That's what it would be right now. That's what I think it would be.
Well, I think the motion controls would just be an add-on, just like you said.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Not a main control feature. But.
And I don't think Black Skimmer.
Yeah.
I don't think he's necessarily wrong, because it's not to say, what if it was be the Wii? What I do think would happen, though, the transition and the update in the technology wouldn't happen as fast as it is happening now. Because right now, the only reason it's happening every 4 to 5 years is because the competition says, I want to get my console out first to be more powerful than this console. So they got to get it out every 4 or 5 years. Because realistically, we could have all lived with the PS2 for another 2 years.
Oh, easily.
Like, easily. And then be like, okay, now let's upgrade to the next. And it can the developers put in more time, or whoever's manufacturing this console, more time to get it right the first time, so you're not going to have problems like 360 did with their hardware overall, or what PS3 is having now with their online setup. They can just take their time with that, and once they have it bang on the money, boom, get it out there, and then, you know, we enjoy our 7 to 8 years of using the one console.
I don't know. Because... I agree and I disagree at the same time, because you can sure, it's a competition is what's driving the innovation forward, but what about on PCs? You know, look at how quickly video cards move forward. Look how quickly games are being made to utilize those resources. You know, I mean, like Crysis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's the same idea. I mean, if they want to make a game that's going to require more hardware, then, you know, another thing that was brought up is who decides this? Well, there would have to be some sort of group that would decide the specs of it. And they would probably have to, you know, bring it to this group that would have publishers, hardware makers, developers involved, you know, it would be this consortium of people that would decide what the specs would be. And, you know, So if a developer has a vision of a game and what we have right now can't handle it, then I think that developer's vision is going to help innovate us.
Oh, it will for sure. But one thing is PC gamers and console gamers are totally different in to what they're used to in upgrading. Like, we're us console gamers, we're trained to know that not to expect a new console, a new leap in technology for about 5 years. It's just the way it is, where PC gamers are like, it's yearly, basically. Like, oh my god, the next big game is going to be this much or this much better. So console gamers more automatically will start off with more patience for that kind of thing. So there might be another thing is, same with the developers, again, they might have this thing where they want to upgrade the technology and want it to look this much better, sound so much better. But again, the same thing is, they can, again, take their time with it and not have to rush out a product and then fill us with a bunch of updates every month to fix bugs or whatnot, because they know that we'd be willing to wait that extra so-and-so amount of time to get our hands on it, because we won't feel forced or rushed into buying something that at the time we don't really want.
Yeah.
That's just it's an idea to throw out there, but... Well, it's tough.
I'll tell you one of the things that, see, I was on the yes to one console future side for a while, and you know, as I was reading some of the information on the boards, I think it was what sparked it in my head was something that Black Skimmer said, and I wish I remember exactly what he said, but it was basically, he was talking about online structures and how, you know, what are we going to do? You know, everyone's going to have their own online structure and that kind of thing. And my first thought was, well, that doesn't happen on PC for the most part. You know, you have an operating system, and that operating system for across the board right now is Windows. And then This is what got me back onto the fence. Oh, crap, a monopoly of an operating system on a console.
Yeah.
You know, and that's – so now I'm back on the fence again, and it's like – do we really want that to happen?
But would you really care?
Well, it depends, because if it was quality, no, I wouldn't. But I don't consider Windows quality. So, but that's just me, because
who's to say it would be Windows though?
Right, I understand, but that's I'm not saying it would be Windows.
Do you,
but
do you honestly turn on your 360 or your PS3 and be like, this operating system sucks dick?
Well, no, because it doesn't, and that's my point.
Exactly.
But I as long as they keep that operating system light and slim and you know with as little interference as possible with the rest of the machine, then I think it'll be fine. But you know, it just kind of made me cringe when I compared it to Windows, and I was like, fuck, you know, because being in the computer business and being a developer, I have to put up with Windows and its flaws all the time.
Well, you know? That's thing though with a console, they'd have to make sure, if there was to be one, they'd have to make sure strictly just a console machine like they are now. They're not going to be more towards PC. We're going to be updating stuff like if they were to keep it, put in your game, you play your game, that's it, maybe do the odd install on a hard drive, then I don't see that being an issue at all, because really it wouldn't really make a difference to the game or what's running that software
right
behind the scenes. But if you're using it, like you said, to do programming or do these other tasks that you do on a PC, then yes, of course, people are going to have preferences of what they like, what they don't like, but that's because they're doing different things at different times and not using it for one thing. But that's the scary part about the one, like who would do that? Who would set all these rules and spaces? And especially with the online thing, like you said, Black Skinner brought up that an online kind of environment would totally be screwed, because you wouldn't have any internal competition with that. It would basically turn... It would have to run on a system similar to what PlayStation 3 is running. It's basically an open online to the developers. Like, I don't think there would be, like, an Xbox Live type thing, because who would decide all that, and who would be in competition for it, right? Who would strive to make that even better? So it'd kind of be like, all right, well...
I think it would have to be somewhere in between, to be honest, if it was going to do something like that, because I think that... you know, what Live gives is that unified structure for an online system, and it works really well. But the problem is that the developers don't have that freedom that they have on PlayStation Network. So I think that if it was to turn into a one-console future, there would have to be a happy medium found between...
It basically have to be Xbox Live with open.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'd have to allow, you know, dedicated servers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, anyone can do a dedicated server on either one, a PSN or Xbox Live. It's just up to the developer to do it.
Oh,
but
okay.
In terms of, like, content-wise, because, I mean, there's three games on 360 right now that have dedicated servers.
Really?
And just the Frontlines Fuels of War is on dedicated servers.
Okay.
And there's one not too long ago, because that has to be, it's 50 players and dedicated, is the first game to have 50 players and dedicated servers on 360.
Okay.
And I don't think it does for PS3. So it basically comes down to what the developer wants to do because they cost money. So that's really not an issue. It's more along, for the Xbox Live problem, is more of the open-ended service to like user-created content and letting developer do whatever they want. That's where the problem is for there. Is they want to create new stuff, then they kind of have to get it verified and certified by Microsoft, then has to go through all these other loops and whatnot to go through, whereas PSN's like, all right, you made this, all right, cool, throw it up there. Whether you're a gamer or developer, it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, you're definitely right. It would definitely have to be some kind of happy medium between the two, because
right.
either one or the other would definitely not be the most ideal online system. That's definitely for sure.
Definitely, for sure.
Definitely,
totally.
For sure. 100%.
Jason, what else we got?
I got another email. Who's this from? Nabo! He says, I was listening 2 weeks ago to the person who came up with this one console future. He was on the 1UP show during GDC. He was talking about how people really don't understand what he's saying. People always argue that PC already tried that, but when you think of the thousands of possibilities in terms of PC setups, it really isn't the one console scenario.
True.
I also don't think one console is really the right term. One format is really a better term. People, for some reason, keep thinking to themselves that one console means it will always be that scenario, but it really doesn't. Just because there would be one disc that works on all players for settings while the other doesn't. A good way to look at this is the way that CD players work. When you have a standardization of a spec and everyone builds to that spec, then you can still have advancements. The only benefit really is that a lot more things will work on CD players instead of just a Sony or Panasonic audio device. As for one of whatever, I think it's complete bullshit. One company will always want to add more and have a certain view towards the overall goal of an era. And limiting it to one concept, or better said, trying to limit it to one idea. Really, this isn't the way to go for video games. And I think the fact that we have difference has helped to sort out gamers by now, by how they like to play their games and what type of experience they want to get. And that's the end, I think. Yes, I see a period. Finally.
Well, he touched on a lot of the stuff that that the Sow did too.
That bitch pig, yeah.
The bitch pig. You know, I gotta say. That, I mean, the Sow is a really good sport for doing that. You know, he basically laid himself on the line, and we took advantage of it. And he's just like, "Yeah, that's cool." Hey,
I think it's funny that his wife listened to or he told her about it, and she's like, "Actually, no, I think I should be the bitch pig."
Yeah, yeah, that's what's funny.
It's you.
So she said it, not us.
Yeah, right.
I don't know his wife. I don't know. I'm not calling you bitch or pig.
That's right.
You said it.
What do you guys think about that, though? If it was like a CD player, you can buy like a really cheap ass CD player that sucks balls. It's gonna play those CD player. It's gonna play those CDs. But then you spend more money to get a really nice CD player. Do you think that would actually work, or no?
I think we would see it too. Because we're dealing with an open standard. You know, if we all have a set group of things that everybody has to build to spec. You know, that does open up a little bit of leeway for manufacturers to
manufacture crap.
To manufacture crap or to make, the things above and beyond, the
right.
crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to back up a bit and just say that I'm definitely one of those people that, if I'm presented with the whole one console future, I immediately think, well, that's a PC. Or I think, well, shit, look at what Atari did, with the video game crash back in the day. They were the only one around.
That's just what brings it up, yeah.
And development and just, innovation just died and killed the industry, I think, because, there was just that one console. And that's something that I'm definitely afraid of. But I like the idea of, just a standard. And, yeah, we can play with that, but I don't know how the hell we would ever get around to, enforcing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the whole Atari crash, because anyone can make a game for the Atari. And the thing is, there's so much shovelware after crap thrown on it. People just lost interest. There'd have to be some kind of quality control to weed that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's
and it And that quality control, you know, might be low. Because it's going to depend on who's monitoring this. And they just might say, okay, whatever.
Because let's be realistic. Like, the only reason – well, maybe not. Maybe there's other reasons too. But the only reason people, like, you'd think the three of us would want a one console future would simply be to play all the games that we're naturally going to buy anyway on our multiple consoles.
Right.
Because that's – like, I don't – like, that's the only thing. Like, we love games, so we see games we want on other consoles, we're going to buy that. And of course, we'd be like, one console feature, sweet, we don't have to worry about all that. But then you have to worry about all these other factors that we were talking about, and it's kind of a little bit of a crapshoot. I'm still on the fence. I don't even know which one is better off.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, price was one of the big things, and you know, you brought up a very good point. For me, you know, I have all three, just like you guys do. Mm-hmm. You know, I paid $600 for my PS3 in, like, last March, right? I've had it just over a year now. I paid $300 for my 360 and $250 for my Wii. So I spent over $1,000 in consoles. If there was a single console and it cost $800, it's still saving me money.
Yeah.
At least it is for me. I mean, you know, the people out there that only have a PS3, you know, or only have a 360... Yeah, they're getting the raw end of the deal, but
yeah, they are, and that's good. That would kill the industry. I'm sorry.
I think it would too.
$100 price tag is something that high that a majority of people couldn't even come close to.
No,
right? Yeah,
no way.
And even with what I just said, you know, I say that I spent over $1,000 or whatever, but I didn't buy them all at one time either. So,
right.
No,
exactly.
You know, I got the Wii first, and that was $250, and that was fine. And then, you know, saw a good deal on a 360 and went out and got a 360, and then decided that, you know, I wanted to get a PS3, and luckily I have a Sony card, and I had enough points to cover the entire price of the PS3, so I actually got it for free. So there you go.
You would have paid the catch money anyway, I think.
No, I wouldn't have.
Cash money.
I would pay the cash money now.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I would definitely pay the cash
money. At some point you would have. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, at one point or another I would have, yes.
But I gotta say, it's kind of at the same time, I kind of like having the option of multiple consoles. I like that. I don't know. It's kind of like that fear. Like, look at all the forums we're always on. Like, we wouldn't be on forums stuff like that if we didn't like the competition of the actual gaming industry as it is now. Like, do you think it just kind of gives? It's just adds some excitement to what's going on. Like, to follow something like that, like MPD numbers, or like, you know, what's Nintendo working on next? What's Microsoft working on next? What's Sony working on next? You know, having just those two consoles like that I keep at my place, and then the other ones kind of alternates. It's just kind of cool. Like, I go to the store and like, hey, you know, do I want to pick up a PS3? I don't want to pick up a 360 game. I kind of like having that option kind of thing. As much as it's stupid as it sounds, I guess it's a hobbyist, I guess, in me, but for video games anyway.
No, I can see where you're coming from. You know, and it definitely keeps the news more interesting, right?
So, no, for sure. E3 would suck balls if there wasn't any competition.
Yeah, no kidding. Because it'd be like, oh, look, here's a game.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it would just be a spectacle. Well, it already was, but...
but there is one thing that we would definitely be happy to get rid of if there was a one-console future. And that's all the fanboy bullshit that goes on out there.
Oh, no, you still get that. My Panasonic player is better than your Sony player.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're going to get that no matter what.
You're right.
You're just... you get that shit with friggin', like, different kinds of TVs, never mind... You know,
yeah, you do.
The real problem I see with this, though, is the actual consortium of companies or publishers or whoever that's supposed to decide this spec, I don't think they would ever come to an agreement. That's the problem.
I agree.
They wouldn't. I don't think they would either.
I mean, look at what happened with the next generation of video discs, you know? There were two companies. There was Toshiba and there was a Sony standard. And... Mm-hmm. They tried to get a standard format for like a year, and they couldn't come up with an agreement. There were only two companies. Now we're talking about however many companies trying to figure out exactly what they need, you know, in this console so they can make games for it. And, you know, I think that's the biggest hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a hurdle that we'll ever be able to get over.
The only way I could possibly see this happening within like the next 10 years is if EA decided to make their own gaming console. Because they... I'm pretty sure you guys would agree that EA is one of the big reasons Sega doesn't make consoles anymore. Because they refuse to make Dreamcast games. And people wanted EA games, so no one bought a Dreamcast. And they're buying up these big-name publishers. If they, let's say they get Take-Two, and all of a sudden they're like, let's go after someone else. They already got BioWare, they got Take-Two, they have Criterion. Let's say they run out there and grab, say, Bungie and Insomniac. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know what? We have all these games now that we own. Let's make a console. What the fuck are people going to do?
You were painting a really scary picture.
Very, very scary. Okay.
Yeah,
you're right, though.
And all they have to do is, they can be like, we don't know anything about hardware. We're going to get, we're going to bring over some guys from Sony, some guys from Microsoft. We're going to put together this machine, and everyone else has to just kind of deal with it. Because you know what? All the games people want are going to be on our console, and that's the way it is.
Well, that's thoroughly depressing.
I know, really.
Sorry, guys.
Have a moment of silence for the death of the video game industry.
That's some scary shit, man. Because that
could scary shit
very well happen, and I wouldn't be surprised. That's like EA's, like, you know, quest for domination, and they're like take over the gaming industry. Yeah, they're already the world's number one publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, shit.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go with it from now. It's like, okay, can we end this topic now?
Strawberry shortcake.
Strawberry shortcake.
Play it now on your EA box. 320.
EA box, right.
Oh, yeah.
So do you guys prefer it? As of right now, someone said one console future or not. Which one would you say?
I would love to see open standards. Mm-hmm. I don't think it could ever happen, though. I think it's idealistic and totally Orwellian. You know, I don't think we could ever come together to do that, and it would hurt the industry, I think, as a whole, just because we have, the competition is such a good thing, and it's why we have these kick-ass systems right now.
Yeah.
You know, if there wasn't any drive or push to, you know, to beat someone out, you know, we wouldn't be making, or seeing the innovations that we are today. So if you strip that competition out, I don't know. I don't think it would be a good thing. I really don't. I think it's good from a developer standpoint. And
honestly, they're definitely the winners in it.
I don't know. This is so tough. I just don't know. I don't think I'm for it, though. Just because I think I love the competition between the various companies. That's probably the big thing. Not to mention the fact that I never think that anyone could agree.
That's my big stop. That's what's stopping me from having any sort of agreement on this part. It's that. It would take so much time for them to actually agree on something. Mm-hmm. That's what would stop innovation, is because they could never figure out exactly what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, it would never be enough.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Just to throw another spoke in there. Mm-hmm. We always talk about how exclusivity is kind of going out the window.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how it's, you know, less and less games. Let's just say that exclusivity kind of dies. You basically have first party exclusivity on both, and like all ends of the table. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then let's say the public then chooses, because at that point you're like, I can play whatever games I want on whatever system. Doesn't matter. Do you think that the public would pick one over the other, kind of like HD versus Blu-ray?
I don't think the public would.
Don't think so?
No. I think it's shit. It would come down to who has the most money at that point.
Yeah.
Whoever, yeah. I don't ever see the exclusive titles going away, though.
No, I don't think it would. I'm just throwing it out.
You know, it makes sense for a developer to publish, you know, multi-platform. They make more money. But, you know, who's to say that the manufacturer just can't just say, you know, well, you know, I'll make up for it. You know, just publish for us.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or develop, like,
we'll give you this much money.
Like, worth
right, and that's kind of the idea. It's like, well, we're going to give you this much money to, you know, pad the fact that it's not going to be getting sales on this system.
Any more emails?
Jeff, to revisit your fact about your thought about the EA box. No, I just hear me out. First, I don't. Well, you're saying that they're gonna buy up all these developers and they'll buy up.
I'm just saying they have the best chance.
If they were to do that, I think what you would see if they were to do that is you would see everybody that got left on the outside of the fence joining together to make a console to destroy. I really do. I mean,
but
you got to
said though. If EA had, let's say you had Ratchet and Clank, Metal Gear Solid, Halo, all the EA sports titles, Burnout, Grand Theft Auto, all these games exclusive to EA, all these games that are really what drive the any given time in a year for video games, all of them coming out on EA's console. Do you think that other console, no matter who came together to build it, would even stand a chance?
Yes.
I got no way. I got
it. Yes, I do. As in the worldwide market, yes, I do.
Oh, worldwide. But then you
can in the worldwide market, yes, I do. Because you've got Konami and Capcom over there in Japan just hanging out, you know, with and they've got tons of stuff, lots of people that follow them in Japan, you know. Nintendo is now on the backside of the fence, like, what the hell just happened, you know, and you know that they're not going to give up.
No, of course not.
So, I mean, I honestly think that you would see, it wouldn't be a one-console future, but the three current consoles that we have right now would probably become one or two.
Well, it'd basically be like, okay, that would be like one console strives in Japan, the other one in North America.
Right.
Because I don't think anyone, there won't be enough people in North America to, I don't think, to follow those, any game that wasn't mentioned in what I said. I don't think any one game holds precedence, any one of those I mentioned that are Japanese developed.
Yeah, and why would they publish for, or why wouldn't they develop for EA?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. If there was an EA box, why couldn't EA just say, okay, we'll give you money?
That's the thing. Could EA top the amount of money that Microsoft and or Sony could give them, and or Nintendo? I mean,
if EA did do this and bought out all these companies, I'm pretty sure Capcom's not going to say no to 90% of North American population that buy video games. I don't think they'd do that. I don't think, care how much money Microsoft or Sony has, when they're going to be like, hey, you can sell 1 million copies on this new upcoming console that's going to fight EA, or you can sell like 10 million on the EA box. I don't think any company would be willing to put up that kind of money.
Well, I guess the reasoning behind my reluctance to see this is that, in all honesty, there's not much in that group that you just mentioned that would drag me to buy it, you know, because I don't play sports games.
That's what I said, but I'm talking North America. Like, Madden's one of the best-selling games. Grand Theft Auto is the best-selling game in North America. And if they
The one thing that would get me is, like, Rock Band. You know, Rock Band, they have BioWare, so, you know, Mass Effect and KOTOR.
You just named, five titles, and there's probably 20 more. You would get one.
Oh, no, you're right, I would, but it's just one of those things that I can't see everyone just going belly up over it. You know, there would still be another console out there trying to beat it out.
But the question was, do you think it would honestly stand a chance?
Worldwide, yes. Not in North America, probably not.
We're not dealing with like resistance fighters. We're dealing with software developers, and I would go with the bigger guy.
The Japanese developers would too. Yeah, for sure. What if they bought Square Enix? That would be the end of the world.
Okay, we're beating a dead horse now.
This is a scary vision of the future.
It's going to have nightmares.
Like it.
I'm depressed. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Red 1984.
It's in the game.
Oh, no! No, it's not! Leave me alone! let's see. Do we have anything else we need to touch on?
Hopefully not.
We talked about the gamers. We talked about the publishers. We talked about innovation. Talked about price. We talked about hardware. We talked about a lot of stuff.
And we're basically all in agreement that it's a thing that would be a bunch of positives would come through one console future, but right now we'd all agree that we don't want that.
I don't. I've actually, as I said, I was originally on the one console side of the fence, and then after reading some of the stuff on the boards, I got like on the fence. Mm-hmm. And after your little EA schmeal, I am now on the no, God no, please no.
Yeah, I'm
same here.
No.
Same here.
So,
And you know what? Kudos to the kids on the boards.
Yeah,
for real.
Absolutely.
Like, the VG Evo community is so awesome, because I was reading through that stuff, and on any other, well, not any, but a majority of other forums, you know, there would be name calling and flaming, and there was none of that. And
nothing.
Kudos to you guys.
It was great discussion, cool. And there were a lot of valid points and a lot of counterpoints made.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that anybody who is interested in reading more comments to go to VG Evo and check out the Interactive Distractions forum.
Yeah.
And we have a topic up there. And there's just, I mean, it's a lot of good conversation. The two big participants were Black Skimmer and RPT, I think. And they went back and forth and just like, point counterpoint, and they were doing it, you know, in a very civil manner, and that is very much appreciated. That is very much appreciated.
I'll tell them this: they did a lot better than what I would have handled.
You're
fuck
some
you, poohead.
Yeah, but Jeff, we know you're a douchebag, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, I know.
We come to expect it.
It's part of the status quo.
Thank you, Nabo and Bitch Pig, for the emails.
Scott, you know.
And thank you, Bitch Pig, for letting us call you Bitch Pig. Oh, man. All right. Shall we do some new releases?
Yes, we should.
All right. So this week we have, for the Wii, Worms, A Space Oddity.
Woohoo.
Hey, I like Worms.
I love Worms.
Of course, this one's $50.
Oh, wow, why?
That's my thought.
Are you sure it's 50?
That's what I saw on EB. I can double check it, but I'm pretty sure that's what I saw. Let's see, what else? Pro Evolution Soccer 2008. Mm-hmm. World War II Aces, which I believe is a flight simulator.
Why are we not done with that genre yet? Come on.
I don't
World War II, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'm so sick of World War II games. At least do something different. Like, Resistance was at least like an alternate universe World War II, you know?
Yeah.
Sega Superstars Tennis.
Hey.
For the DS, Diary Girl. I don't even want to know.
Yes!
You know, I've been saying I was going to research some games, like, if I didn't know about them, but this one, yeah, I didn't bother.
No.
You didn't bother?
No, I'm not at all.
I think you should actually give this one a shot, Chris.
No.
Oh, God.
What if I laid out a challenge and, like, Double Dog Dared you?
I still wouldn't do it.
Double Dog Dare you?
Pussy.
Yeah, well, I'm not in elementary school anymore. Sorry, Jason.
Stupid.
Go Pets Vacation Island. Lost in the Blue 3.
How much that cost? Sequels.
What's that?
How has that gotten so many sequels?
Well, the first one was supposed to be good, and I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember the second one.
Yeah,
I was going to say there was a second one.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it disappeared. Maybe it only came out in Japan.
Indifference.
Most likely, yeah.
And Sega Superstars Tennis. 360, Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Yep.
Which is probably exciting. Which is probably the big title of the week.
You know what sucks is, like, Rainbow Six games always come out, or the at least the ones this generation, at the worst times for me. Like, the first one came out, I think, a week after Gears of War, so I didn't buy it. And this one's coming out right before, or right around the time when, like, Crisis Core and God of Wars came out, and Army 2 and all this other stuff that I want to eventually get. And so I'm most likely not going to be able to get this game either till later. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of close. Because they're good games. I just, no time!
Yeah, I've never played any of them. So, 360 is also getting Sega Superstars Tennis.
Superstar.
Seeing a trend here. PS3, Hot Shots Golf, Out of Bounds.
Cool.
Yeah, that should do well.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Wait a minute. Is that right? Must be.
Huh?
Hold on.
Is there a big title coming up?
I have this listed for PS3, and for some reason I don't remember it being PS3. Karaoke Revolution, American Idol Encore. Yay! Hey, Konami.
I love your sign.
Konami, there's SingStar and Rock Band. Just give it up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Uh-huh.
And Sega Superstars Tennis.
Wow.
The PS2 is getting Samurai Warriors Extreme Legends. Samurai Warriors 2 Extreme Legends. Mm-hmm. SingStar 90s.
Mm-hmm. Finally. So Sega.
Sega Superstars Tennis. Mm-hmm. And Metal Gear Solid Essentials Collection.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah. The question I have, though...
Still probably going to get it.
Metal Gear 1, the first Metal Gear?
Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Or did they put it all on a DVD?
I don't know.
Because that game was three CDs. Yes.
It was a CD. Yeah, it probably is on one DVD then.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
That's the best one, too, in my opinion, but hey.
Yeah, I could... You know those kids that did the gaming marathons? I want to do that for...
Industrial Gamers?
Yeah, I want to do it for Metal Gear Solid.
That'd be
I think
cool.
I actually suggested that to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think he said he's, like, the only one who likes Metal Gear out of the group. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, blasphemy! But, you know.
Did they actually finish the Final Fantasies?
I think they said they got close, but they didn't actually get to finish them.
How long were they playing them for? 24 hours?
I don't remember. Because I didn't actually get a chance to watch it because the Nazis at work won't let me.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I watched it a bit.
I actually snuck home for for lunch. I went home for work. Or from work and watched it a little bit.
Jason got to check it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm looking forward to hearing what they're going to do next. So, Industria, let us know what you're doing, man. Yeah. We want to know. And for the people that don't know what we're talking about, Industria is a member of VG Evo, and he has a little group that he calls Industrial Games, and they do, like, these marathons. They've done two of them so far.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was...
Zeldas.
Right, but I'm trying to remember what Zeldas they did. They did, like, two Zeldas back-to-back or something, right?
I don't remember which ones it was.
This time around, they did Final Fantasy VII and VIII side-by-side and tried to go straight through.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. But that is it for new releases.
Not bad.
Cool.
Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to next week after this one.
Yeah. Because
that's when Crisis Core comes
out. Big release next week.
Yeah.
Or next, yeah. And, I guess technically it would be next week because it's Monday today.
Isn't Dragon Sword coming out the week after next?
Yeah, it comes out the same day as Crisis Core, doesn't it?
I don't remember.
I think it does.
But I saw some video of that, and I am really interested. I saw the review on Game Trailers.
What'd they give it?
8.8.
Hmm.
Which is pretty good, you know? They said that it's apparently about the same length as God of War on PSP.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's about 6 hours. But yeah, you're right. That's okay. No big deal.
But, it's Ninja Gaiden on a DS, which blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what blows my mind even more is I'm actually more excited for the Ninja Gaiden on the DS than I am the 360 one.
Yeah,
that's funny. Those are the same style, did you say?
Have you seen the stylus?
Yeah, I have. No. The katana stylus?
Yeah.
It's pretty badass, man.
Is that like a pre-book bonus or something?
Yeah, it's an EB pre-order bonus thing. They have like a little katana stylus.
Go check it out.
Yeah, and it looks like it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't slide into the system, obviously, but
right.
It kind of looks like it could attach to where the strap goes. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Jason, did we get any emails this week?
We did.
All right.
Would you like to read some?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. I've got one from Jason Johnston, also known as Third Beat. He says, hey, guys, love the show. I live in Toronto and just thought I'd tell you I went and checked out...
What?
To all right.
So that was my gangsta coming out.
Oh, God.
I'm so white.
That was pretty sad.
You guys all wear plaid and stuff?
Yeah, all the time.
That's like
next.
Where the hell was I? Gamerama. That's where he went. And after hearing
that's right by my house.
There we go. He said it was a pretty cool store that I had not checked out. He normally goes to the Game Center downtown. Anyways, love listening to the show and keep up the great work. Signed, Jay. Also, I am Third Beat, all one word, on PSN if anyone wants to add me. My friends list is pretty weak. Mine too. I think I'll add you.
Yeah, Gamerama is that store where I tell where I always tell you guys I get games, and they always sell games kind of early there and stuff.
Yeah, that he said that that's why he went there, because he heard you talk about it on the show.
Yeah, it's a good place. Big up.
Cool.
I'm just happy we have a new listener.
Yeah, absolutely. New listeners are good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This one is rather mysterious. It's from The Figure in the Shadows.
Ooh.
It's creepy.
It says, hello. My last email may have seemed a bit strange. Well, I am the figure in the shadows, so I think it goes with the territory. I think it's time for me to just get to the point. I would like to know your thoughts on Flow on the PSP. With the expansion pack, the content wasn't justified to purchase, and yet again, with this PSP version, it seems like the initial purchasers of Flow are just getting the shaft. Is there anything that you can think of to justify a second Flow purchase, or even a purchase of the expansion pack that should have just been a patch? I'll be waiting. Sincerely, the figure in the shadows. Or Fitz.
Fitz.
I call him Fitz.
It's... I didn't really
like
Flow.
Who got Flow? Who got Flow?
I got Flow.
I got Flow.
I got tons of Flow.
Mad Flow with Jason's Corner.
I don't even really consider Flow a game.
No.
For me, it's more of a showpiece, you know?
It's a tech demo.
Yeah,
a really artsy tech demo.
For motion control, that's how I look at it.
Right.
Right.
And PSP,
I mean, visuals too, because I mean the visuals are pretty good. You know, it's got a neat effect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
I think I had more fun. Do you guys remember the early like tech demo discs on the PlayStation, like the Tyrannosaurus Rex and stuff?
Oh yeah.
I had tons of fun with that too.
I don't remember that.
A lot like that. I don't know. At least in Flow, you can actually kind of wiggle around and eat stuff and evolve, which is cool. So there's a not schematic. What's the word I'm looking for? A mechanic to the game, as it were. So it's a little more interesting than just a tech demo, I guess. But I haven't heard too much about the expansion, as it were.
Yeah, so I can't really justify buying the expansion or the PSP version, personally.
Yeah, I would.
So.
I think the main draw to people was the motion-sensitive controls.
Yeah, that's the only reason I bought it.
Yeah, so, and that's gone with the PSP, so
yeah,
you know, what's the
I don't
point?
Know what. Get it then.
Right.
It's got to be really cheap. $10, I'd maybe.
Just stay away. Just...
We don't want to encourage this kind of behavior. So you guys can't think of anything? No?
Not really.
No. Sorry.
We said no.
Yeah, I said that. I wouldn't feel gypped at all. I'd feel right, more...
Last email from Ravenblade.
All right.
All that he had to say. Let's see. Oh, he has two things, actually. Really, this is just a double rant about a couple things that are pissing me off lately. I've had enough of this Grand Theft Auto 4 crap already. What the hell is so fucking amazing about this game that every magazine you pick up almost every month since E3 has had like 6 pages dedicated to it? Apart from adding online to GTA, they aren't really doing anything new. It pisses me off that they keep wasting valuable pages by going over the same crap over and over again. Surely they could use some of those pages to cover some of the new titles that are coming out this year. Thankfully, we should have another month to put up. Thankfully, we should just have another month to put up with endless Grand Theft Auto 4 pimping. And I hope to God the series dies a horrible death, as I have had enough of the oh my God, GTA fucking rules crap. It's about time Rockstar put the damn thing out of its misery and went on to something new. What do you guys think?
You know, I can honestly say GTA 4 is the first Grand Theft Auto game I'm actually looking forward to.
Oh, really?
I barely played GTA 3. I bought Vice City because I was kind of hyped up for it, but I wasn't hyped up because I was hyped up for it. Guys, I didn't really play the third one. Like Vice City, didn't care less when San Andreas coming out. Couldn't give a rat's ass, really. But from what I'm hearing, everything about 4 sounds really, really cool. And I'm just like, this is, I'm actually looking more forward to it. And if it wasn't for 4, like, I would have said the same. I would have agreed. I'd been like, yeah, I don't care for the series. Get rid of it. I don't see the big deal. But 4 looks like it's going to change it up quite a bit to keep people playing and get more people involved in it.
Well, yeah, it's a huge, huge title, all the Grand Theft Autos are. But I think what he's, you know, really pissed off about is how much coverage the game is getting.
The game's getting,
huge coverage.
This, what I'm trying to say is, I guess, basically, I think this is the first time it deserves it, because it's actually, they are innovating from the other games, where literally, like, Vice City was 3 in a new setting. San Andreas did add a lot more, but it was pretty much more or less the same, right? Just different environment.
I didn't care for San Andreas at all. I thought it was kind of cool that they were adding just new features. They were doing some different stuff with that one, but it wasn't enough. I don't know. I just wasn't a homie Rola.
I'm not down with the...
The subject matter just... But it was... I couldn't get in it, I guess.
Yeah. I hear
now, Vice City, on the other hand, I still wear, you know, socks. Or shoes with no socks.
Your tropical shirt.
Yeah, I got my Paul Johnson 5 o'clock shadow. So, that was easy to get in the moment, to get in the mood.
I only played Part 3. I didn't play Vice City or San Andreas.
Plus, Vice City had an awesome soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. And I ran. Sorry. Okay.
I am also not interested in 4, so Ravenblade, I'm with you.
If anybody wants any stickers, GameStop gave me a shit ton of Grand Theft Auto 4 stickers for some reason, which I think is extremely ironic because they're like supposed to go in your car. And I'm like, I want that on my car.
Yeah, really?
Something I don't want to encourage.
Can I just say something, let's interject for one quick second before the sticker thing?
Mm-hmm.
So is Ricky Duty on vacation?
I know. You said this is the last email. We haven't heard from Ricky yet.
Where the hell did Ricky go?
I don't know.
Ricky, are you okay?
We didn't get an email from Ricky.
Okay, dude, buddy, did we do anything to piss you off? Are you alright?
I think he's pissed because this is probably it, you know, because we kind of were like, dude, alright, emails are a little long, and then we start reading long emails. Because he sent one, he's like, okay, I'll try and make it short as possible. But then after that, dude, I'm sorry. Dude, you can send
come back
long mail.
Send us a 5-minute voicemail or something. That's fine.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, right, voicemail this week. What's up with that?
No voicemail. Losers.
I'm very
Ravenblade, he's still got a second point here.
You win back.
Secondly, I think everyone would agree that the start of 2008 has been packed with games.
Yes.
Yes, it has. And March and April are especially loaded with some very cool games.
Yes.
But what the hell is Sony doing with the store updates these last few weeks? Surely with all these games coming out, they could at least put a few demos out. The PAL store updates have been totally shit the last few weeks. The Flow expansion was the high point because apart from that and a few crap Guitar Hero 3 song packs, we've only gotten a handful of trailers. Yeah. Seems like Sony are going backwards with the store at the minute, and I see no reason for it. Seriously, they need to get their act back together and quickly, yeah. Anyway, enough rambling. Bring on GT5 and Wipeout HD, and I won't be worrying about anything else for a while. Ravenblade.
Yeah, the store has definitely sucked for the past few weeks.
It sucks generally.
Dude, yeah, the store has always sucked. I had no love for it whatsoever. I don't get it.
Everything comes out a week or two later than on other things. They just do it like when they get new stuff, put it on there. I don't like how they have it every Thursday. Everything is updated, whether it's game content, PSN games, trailers, whatever, how it always comes on just the Thursday. Just when you get it, throw it up there.
Cool. Demos keep the games make on like me buy Thursday. Games.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
That's my biggest thing is that they don't have enough demos.
At all.
I mean that's the good thing about live. I mean, see that's something that I can at least be happy for that I have both. If there's a game that I want to get and it's multi-platform, at least I can download the demo on live.
Yeah, true. I wonder why that is. You think maybe it's because they have the tools to do it? Do you think Microsoft might give them that? Be like, hey, you want a demo to sell? You upload it, and it's done. Like, because I don't like that's PSN's all open and free. How come none of these demos are showing up on there?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. But I mean, a lot of the multi-platform games we have seen demos for.
Both. Oh yeah, yeah.
So
now
it's not.
Kind of.
Yeah,
true.
But the thing that most people complain about is that like, PSN games never get demos. I mean, and if they do, it's they like.
Late. It's rare, and it's way after like, Pixel Junk Monsters. It was probably a good 2 weeks before you know there was a demo release of that.
Yeah.
There were other ones, like Toy Home. I can't
Stardust HD, but that just came out recently, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Stardust HD just had its demo, and that game came out like 6 months ago.
Like, I'll tell you guys this right now, you guys probably agree, like, half the games I bought on Xbox Live Arcade, I bought because I played the demo the day it came out, and it was like, hey, it's pretty cool. I'm going to throw you money and then never play the game again.
And that happens to me a lot, too. I'll buy, like, one of those little arcade games, and I'll play it, like, for 2 days, and that's it.
I'm and plus, I love that game, but after that day I talked about it, I haven't touched it since. Like, fuck, I did it again. I promised myself I wouldn't.
Yeah, they got to get their act together. Totally agree. Mm. The PlayStation Store is lacking.
Sucks worse.
Big time. All right, that's it for emails.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for sending emails. So, we have a new question of the week. And we are looking to find out how our listeners feel about movies that are made from games. And there's been a couple of them recently that have been pretty bad. So, and there's been a couple that have been compared to movies that they should not have been compared to.
Can we make a sure challenge and not talk about Uwe Boll?
I'm interested. Oops,
yeah, let's talk about movies made from games that are not by Uwe Boll.
Because I got a feeling that might be a strong focus. But.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
But there's plenty of other games that are shitty enough to talk about. I've read plenty of other movies.
Yeah. So, yeah, send us the answer to the question of the week, or comments or thoughts about the show itself, or if you just want to say hi, or if you want to tell us we suck, that's fine, too.
Tell us a joke.
That's right. You can get to us by sending an email to email@interactivedistractions.com. And, of course, you can always get to us by our voicemail line, which only one person has used so far.
Two.
We had Dombo. Oh, that's right. Eamon sent in his, like, hey, great show. Thanks. Bye. Forgot about that. But that number is 818-528-GAME. It's 818-5...
Sorry.
Wait until for your cue, damn it. 818-528-4263. You can also get us on Skype at Interactive Distractions. All one word.
All lowercase.
There you go.
Sweet.
Well, real quick, before we wrap up, there's something that I wanted to mention. Last week, when we were going through new releases, I was mentioning Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles for the DS. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, the game has a big Wi-Fi stamp on the front of it.
Oh, it's huge.
Yes. But you can't play online. There's no online multiplayer mode. It's basically trading something. I forgot what it was, but it's bullshit.
It's all local.
Yeah. So multiplayer is all local, and it's really disappointing, but because I actually heard that a lot of people are comparing the multiplayer in this game to Diablo and PSO. And I was I would love to play it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they said like the single player game wasn't very compelling and so I'm going to wait, you know, I might get it later, but I don't know, we'll see. So wanted to mention that. And I also got a DualShock 3.
Yay!
But I haven't used it yet.
What games are supported so far?
Actually a lot.
Resistance,
Warhawk, Burnout. I think Ratchet and Clank got an update.
Uncharted
uses it. So look to hear more about that next week.
All right.
Cuz I just got it yesterday and I just haven't had it.
Tell me about your Rumble experience.
Yes. I'll tell you about all my vibration.
Just gonna be waiting in anticipation. I don't know if I can take it.
Yeah.
You might have to send me an email ahead of time. Give me a preview.
Well, you guys have anything to add before we wrap up?
I have a theory to test. I want to see what you do when I mention PSO. What happens? Does it tickle you in funny spots? Because that's like your magic word. You mentioned PSO, and Chris is just like, oh, gotta get
I got a boner.
Well, there is no game.
That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
There's no game out there that I put more hours into than PSO.
Yeah.
Period.
I was just testing.
I know.
I'm still looking for the game that compels me to play it enough that I play it as much as I did PSO.
I know.
And I was hoping it was going to be PSU. And for a while it was.
On.
What's that?
Dragging on.
Why you got somewhere on? You got to be there?
No, I just...
Jeff boy. Huh?
All right, no, we'll do the whole PSO, PSU conversation again. Okay, go.
Oh. Too human. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's what I'm looking forward to now, so there you go.
Hopefully.
All right.
Well, that's disappointing. Disappointing.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, guys?
I have a Captain America Jack in the Box.
Nice.
What the fuck?
Ah, well done.
Oh, man.
Well done. Good placement. All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening and putting up with this. Come by VG Evo and visit our forum, and you know, I'm usually in the shop box. Jeff is there often too, and you know, Jason pops in every once in a while.
Jason works for a living, damn it.
Whatever.
When he's not playing with his Captain America Jack in the Box.
It's actually broken now.
Did you play with it too much, Jason?
No, the lid doesn't close or stay closed. Do you guys want to listen to it?
Sure. Why not? God, you weren't lying.
And that's
it. Oh my God.
Wow.
Alright, we're done. That's it.
Get easy.
Thanks for listening. I'm Chris, and for Jason and Jeff, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Captain America!